Hey guys, welcome to It's a Bronx Story,
a podcast by two lifelong Yankee fans about all things Yankees.
So I'm an idiot, and we just spent 15 minutes recording the beginning of our episode, and I noticed that my mic wasn't getting picked up at all, so we're going to have to start this over again. This episode, we're just going to talk about what has happened since our last episode, so trading for Donaldson and IKF. We're going to talk about everything that's happened in free agency, and then talk a little bit about the games today, or so far preseason, spring training. It's nothing much to talk about, but just some things that we've noticed. Mm-hmm. So yeah, if you like the episode, remember to check us out on Twitter and Instagram at The Bronx Story, and leave a rating and review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to your podcasts. Okay, so starting again, I guess we'll start with Rizzo. I like the signing. It's better than any other option that we could have had other than mm-hmm. Olsen and Freeman. So mm-hmm. I think they realized when they signed Rizzo, I think they realized that Freeman just wasn't going to happen. They weren't mm-hmm. going to get Freddie. So they pulled kind of what the Braves did and were like, I'm not risking it. So I'm just going to sign
the next best. They pivoted quickly to Rizzo. Yeah. So I think the top three options were Olsen, Freeman, and Rizzo. Obviously, getting Olsen means you're going to have to give up prospects, and they probably were hesitant to do that. And you bring up a good point that it seems like the A's were not going to let Olsen go without getting Volpe. And we're not doing that, Volpe. So we're not doing that. And then Freeman, it seemed like his options were down to the Braves and Dodgers. It seems like he did not want to come to New York. So once it became clear that that was the case, the Yankees just quickly went to Rizzo, and then the Braves traded for Olsen, leaving Freeman to the Braves, to the Dodgers.
Yeah, and I mean, Rizzo looks good coming mm-hmm. into camp. He's definitely thinned down a bunch. I think COVID really hurt his production with us last year. Mm-hmm. I think he could come into this year and just have a great year where he walks a lot, doesn't strike out a lot, and plays great defense, and that's mm-hmm. a huge upgrade over... Well, not a huge upgrade over Voit, because Voit's a great hitter too, but hopefully mm-hmm. Rizzo will be healthier and plays much better defense.
Yeah, I think his defense and the fact that he's a lefty brings so much to the Yankees, where I think it is an upgrade over Voit at first base, which is, you know, sucks to say, but his defense is not the best. And, you know, we ultimately moved on from Voit. We traded him to the Dodgers, or to the Padres, I keep.
Yeah, and we got Justin Lange, or L-A-N-G-E, however, someone tell me how to pronounce that. But he was the Padres' 8th-ranked prospect, and now he's our 20th or 22nd-ranked prospect. So that shows a lot of our farm system. He's got a crazy good arm. He throws 102. So a lot – they're high upside for him, but mm-hmm. he has a lot of young guys that they're really hard. He has control issues, and there's always that risk for Tommy John. But we'll see. We would have liked to get something better from Voit, obviously, but everyone knew we had no leverage, and just a Voit alone, we are never going to get anything that good in return. We would have had to trade him in a package to really get something back.
Yeah, we were never going to get a major league starting pitcher for just Voit.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, you had to just accept that. But we did get a really good prospect, a guy with a high ceiling, like you said, throws really hard, got up to 102 in high school. So we'll see. He could be a starter, probably in the bullpen is probably where I project him as right now. Yeah. But we'll see what happens. But overall, nice that we got something in return for Voit. Yeah. And I like to see him on the Padres. You know, I want to see him have consistent at-bats. He was never going to get that with the Yankees. He was probably going to be on the bench for the most part, just because the way our infield is stacked up, there was no playing time for him. So let him go to a place where he could have his at-bats and just go off.
Yeah, I'm really hoping that us trading just Voit means that Cashman might be a little confident in getting Manai or Montas, because we really could use another starting pitcher. I'm hesitant to say we absolutely need one, but... Mm-hmm. it would really help shore up our rotation and our team. So that's really all that we can do. So left in the offseason is trade for another starter. So just mm-hmm. please do that. because it will really help the team.
Yeah. I think you want to move on to the Correa signing. That was a big thing that happened. It happened at, 3 o'clock?
Yeah.
3 a.m.?
That was ridiculous. I woke up at, randomly in the middle of the night at 4 a.m. and looked at my phone. I saw, Correa to the Twins from, you texted me, and I looked at Twitter, and I was like, what? People say we got played. I don't think Cashman really intended to ever sign Correa, but I think us taking on Donaldson and allowing the Twins to sign Correa, that means the Astros don't have Correa.
I would much rather
the Twins play us and us have Donaldson and them have Correa than the Astros re-signing him.
Yeah, I was going to say, at least he didn't re-sign with the Astros. He went to the Twins. And also, for the people saying that Cashman got played, this was not the plan at all for Correa. He was planning on signing a 10-year, $350 million contract. Yeah. It just so happened that his market just never developed the way he wanted it. And then within the last week after the Yankees made the trade, he made it known that he would take a shorter deal. So that option was not on the table for us. And also, a lot of people are saying, we always knew there was going to be a part two to this trade, right? When we made our recording, we said the Twins are probably going to sign Story. That's why they're clearing Donaldson's salary, right?
Yeah.
We never expected it to be Correa, but we knew the Twins were going to do some big move by clearing Donaldson.
Mm-hmm.
And also, a lot of people are saying, Donaldson cost $50 million. Correa's not I don't think it's an equal apple to apple scenario because we got Donaldson, but we also unloaded Sanchez and Urshela. I think Donaldson is making $23 million. Sanchez and Urshela cost $14 million. So what is that? $9 million for Donaldson?
Yeah.
It's not just $23 million and then it's like, you didn't pay $35 million for Correa. It's $9 million for Donaldson.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not an apples to apples, and a lot of people already didn't want Correa because of the whole Astros thing. Everyone wanted Seager. That didn't happen. It was clear I think it was pretty clear it was made clear recently that we were never gonna sign a shortstop for a long period of time. They really believe in Volpe and Peraza secondarily. Seeing Volpe in spring training so far, his defense is there. His approach at the plate seems pretty good. So I don't think it wouldn't be outrageous if we saw him in the league this year. I think it's more likely next year. But if he starts the year off in AA extremely hot, everyone knows the jump is single A to AA. You can go from AA straight to the majors and not have a huge issue. So it wouldn't be crazy to see Volpe this year, but I do think we probably see Peraza this year. I'm not really sure how he fits on the team the way it's currently constructed, but we'll find out when we get there. And then Story I would have liked to have him, but for what he signed, I don't like that he went to the Red Sox, but I'm glad we didn't try and beat that contract.
Yeah. Well, it became, when you saw Correa sign his 3-year deal, you figured maybe will Story follow in that example where it's a 3-year contract opt out after the first 2 years.
Yeah.
And then you wouldn't expect him to sign for $35 million for that shorter term. But, if we could have got Story there for a little bit cheaper, $25 million, maybe it would have been nice, but ultimately went to the Red Sox, and he's going to play second base for them as well. So,
which lowers his value. And for us, he might have either played short or center field, and there's a lot of question marks on his arm. Oh, that reminds me of Correa. I think people are a little bit more concerned about Correa's health than the public views it as. So obviously a lot of fans are he's injury prone, I don't want him, but it's shocking that he didn't get a big deal. The medicals must be bad on him if he just signed a 3-year deal with opt-outs.
Because every team passed on him. He was one of the top shortstops. The market just never materialized, and you have to figure, why is that the case? You know, it's, we're not there. So I trust teams to make that judgment better than I can. And the fact that he was only able to get a 3-year contract tells me something, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And I just, it gets to the point where, like, yeah, you want to sign the top free agents, but the way our salary is constructed right now, like, if you want to have an extended window, like the Dodgers have had, like the Astros have had, like, you need to get homegrown young talent. Like, if you just keep signing the top guys all the time, you end up with the 2013 Yankees. Like, that is where the end road is, where then you have, like, the period of 2013 to 2017, like, the start of 2017, where you're just hopeless. Like, you have too much money on the books to sign top guys, and you have to wait for people to develop. Like, we need to rely on some of our top prospects. Like, and people so are like,
I understand the vision. Yeah. I understand the vision completely. It's supposed to, they want to be like the Dodgers, where you could develop some guys, and then because you could have them on cheaper contracts, then you go out on free agency and then sign up those guys to shore up those other spots, similar to the Dodgers. And then they still have those prospects, or they believe they have those prospects to build that core with what they have. But we'll see. It's a lot of faith in our you know, minor league system. So that's a lot of pressure on them, you have to figure. But I see the vision. I see the vision. Do you trust Cashman to be the one to execute on it?
I don't know. I don't love Cashman anymore. I think there have been, some of the money that's being spent is being spent poorly. The bullpen is a waste of money. Like, and there are,
So I just, so, you know, I wish Hal opened up the budget a little bit, but to be fair, he is spending a lot of money on the roster, as, and the way the Yankees have spent it has been ineffective. The way we manage our roster, like you were going to say, the bullpen, just the way our bullpen is set up, we have, you know, a lot of money tied up to two pitchers, where that's just not, you know, the best use of resources. I think we kind of went through a cycle where it was like bullpen, bullpen, bullpen. Now I think people realize that you could get good guys for cheap. You know, Lawasiga, I think he's a closer waiting.
Yeah.
You know, and he's cheap. You know, I think Albert Abreu, I think he could really open some eyes, be a really good reliever. Even Sessa, you know how he came up and, you know, he was terrible as a starter, but he really turned himself around to be a really solid bullpen piece. And, you know, we have King, we have Herman, we have
Peralta.
Like, we could find guys. Steven Riding is another example. Yeah. You know, I think we could find good relievers for cheap, and then you could use that money in other areas.
Yeah. And let's also consider the fact that they're already spending like $250 million, and that's before an expected extension of Judge, which is going to add another, probably like another $10 million. And then, so,
Ryan, do you want to open up that file I sent you?
Yep, I have it open.
Okay.
I will switch the... All right, I have it pulled up on stream, or on the recording now. So, and this is kind of a breakdown that we put together, mainly Jatinder put together, of breaking down what our wild card game lineup was, and then what was expected going into 2021, like the 2021 opening day, assuming no injuries, versus what we're expected going into this year with, and just kind of a breakdown.
Let's kind of go through it. So in column B, that's the 2021 wild card game. We had Higgy and then Sanchez pinched hit. We had Rizzo at first, Torres at second. Urshela was the starter, but then we brought in Odor, and then we moved Urshela to shortstop. We were starting Velasquez at shortstop. I love the guy, but we should not be starting Velasquez. I know there was injuries and, you know, but he should not be the starting shortstop in a wild card game. And then Gallo, Gardner, Judge, Stanton. So let's go into what we think the 2022 roster is going to be. I think we definitely improve, for sure.
Yeah.
Donaldson is an improvement over Urshela. Taino Falefa is an improvement over Velasquez, and Hicks is an improvement over Gardner.
Yeah. And, like, there's... It's like, we didn't have Rizzo for an entire season. Now mm-hmm. we don't have to give Odor and Andrew Velasquez and Brett Gardner significant at-bats. And, like, mm-hmm. that's huge. Like mm-hmm. half the season, we had those three guys getting a lot of at-bats. And it, people are like, oh, we didn't improve that much. Because if you look at our opening day roster from last year, like, I guess...
Which we thought was a championship contender. We totally thought that. So yeah. Don't try to rewrite history and be like, oh, the Yankees were always supposed to be bad. We thought they could win the pennant and potentially win the World Series.
And they
so they came stacked in 2021. And I think we improved it significantly. In 2022.
Yeah, they improved significantly in 2022. Like, you Rizzo do is...
that comparison?
Yeah. So Higgy versus Sanchez, I think, is kind of a net zero. Defense, our catchers this year should provide much better support than Gary did. But hitting, it's... not looking great. Mm-hmm. However, that's the catcher position.
So I did a war. So I did look at Fangraphs just to calculate what they have their war projected as. Mm. You're going to notice that my war for Higgy kind of fluctuates. It's only because they have him at like 77 games, and then I figure he's going to be playing a lot more games than Wirtfit. So if I take it divided by 162 and then multiply it by as many games I expect him to be playing, mm-hmm. I get to that 1.7 number. And then Sanchez, they have him over 101 games, which I still think is probably the amount of games you would want a catcher to play. So I just kept it as 1.3. Right. So Higgy does have a higher war, and I think it's mainly due to their defense.
Yeah. And then at first, I mean, Rizzo is a pretty good upgrade over Voit. Like, his defense mm-hmm. is just infinitely better, and Rizzo's not a bad mm-hmm. hitter at all, and he's a lefty at Yankee Stadium. So, mm-hmm. I mean, that's an upgrade in itself. Gleyber going mm-hmm. back to second base versus DJ, I mean, it's tough
so
because...
here in Fangraphs, they have him as a first baseman, so you figure if he's at a second base, his war should go up. So yeah. I just kept it as that 2.3, but, you know... you could call me out on that, but I still think Torres at second base is an upgrade.
If Gleyber returns to his 2018-2019 hitting caliber, or at least just bounces back, I think he's an mm-hmm. upgrade over DJ, but...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I not mean, defensively, DJ. But yeah, definitely, yeah.
Yeah, so that, like, I think second base and catcher are kind of a little bit of a wash if you really think about it. But then third base, Donaldson versus Urshela. Like, we love mm-hmm. Gio, but Donaldson is a significant upgrade over Gio.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it. Mm-hmm. He's a much
even
better
defensively.
Hitter.
Yeah. Even and, defensively.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, defensive metrics like him better, and he's a much better hitter. He costs a mm-hmm. lot of money, which sucks, but mm-hmm. it's a significant ability upgrade if he can stay healthy.
Yeah. Yep.
And then, yeah, so shortstop... like, hitting wise, Gleyber's better if we were to mm-hmm. go off last year's roster. But if you also think, like, Gleyber's not playing shortstop this year, so
once again, I'm using his numbers that were projected as second base. If he was a shortstop, does his number take a little bit of a hit? Yeah. So I kind of figured LeMahieu and Torres, they both kind of wash out if you were to switch out positions. So I just kept the position numbers that they had, but you figure you saw Torres even last year was a one war about. So it still is an upgrade.
Yeah.
But I really like the defense. The defense at third base and shortstop is really good. And even at first, it's really good now having Rizzo and catcher. Yeah. So I didn't put any of the projected wars for pitchers because you don't know how, you know, your defense really does affect your pitching. You know, over a long 162 game season, having good defense makes your pitching better. You know, look at Montgomery. He you know, he's a ground ball pitcher. Just, you know, you're not going to have balls going past guys, you know, and that's going to make him better. You know, Tyone, same thing. He's a ground ball pitcher. You know, Cole is a strikeout guy. But, you know, having better defense makes your pitching better. So it's sure we're improving on, like, the offense and defense a little, but you're going to really see that affect our pitching, I think, which makes our team better over a whole 162 game season.
Yeah. And yeah, I think IKF, I'd rather have at shortstop than running Glaber back at shortstop. And then, mm-hmm. I mean, next, left field, Gallup over Clint Frazier is possibly the biggest upgrade on this list. Like, Gallup is 10 times the player that Clint will probably ever be. Obviously, Frazier last improved year,
on his defense, but he still had his moments. He still had his moments. And Gallup is a Gold Glove outfielder. So, once again, having good defense is very valuable. And it seems like the Yankees are – obviously, the Yankees believe that, too, because that's why they've made the moves that they've made. That's why they got rid of Sanchez. They believe in defense.
Yeah, and you're going to hope that Gallup bounces back a bit offensively, and if he does, then
– he can't be as bad as he was in the second half. He just cannot be, you know. So you're going to get a better Gallup.
Yep. Yeah, and then center field – like, Hicks is, it's a toss-up because he could get hurt like he did last year. We didn't actually have Hicks at center field last year because it was Brett Gardner for most of the season. And Hicks is an upgrade over Brett if he can stay healthy. So center field's kind of a toss-up. It's just, if Hicks stays healthy, it's an upgrade. If not, then I don't really know what exactly we're going to do. But
That's the concerning thing, is that if he isn't healthy, what do you put in center field? Obviously there's Judge, but you can't run him out there every single day. You just gotta hope that he stays healthy, and hopefully his defense also returns to form. He kind of took a little bit of a hit defensively, but I still think he's a better defender than Gardner.
And then
Judge and Stan.
Judge and Stan are they're washes, but overall, and then DJ on the bench, which is much better than any bench player we had last year. So, like, overall, it's a pretty significant upgrade in terms of expected war. I think the offense, from what we went into the year last year with, the offense is much better. The defense is, hands down, way better. And then even what we ended the year last year with, it's still an upgrade over what we ended the year with. Because half of our team was hurt, so, like, we're not giving...
I really do believe we underperformed, and we still won 92 games, right? Yeah. So you figure... you're going to get bounce backs. Maybe I shouldn't be counting on it, you know, but, you know, I believe the back of the baseball card, you know, DJ is going to return to form. Glaber, I really do think switching him back to second base is going to help him. And I think, you know, Rizzo, just, we were talking about earlier, he just looks really great in shape. And then we're going to talk about spring training games, but Donaldson and Rizzo, first home runs, you know, you love to see it. So let's see.
I don't think Rizzo's hit a home run yet.
He
hit a home run like live BP.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, but, so did Glaber. Overall, we definitely upgraded the team, and we upgraded on a 92 win team. I don't understand, and we underperformed last year. Like, I don't get why people are saying this team sucks. Like, yeah, the team was annoying last year. That there's no. But they didn't suck. Like, they won 92 games with half of their team being hurt half the year. Like, people need to... they're Yankees fans. Like, Yankees fans are notorious for overreacting to literally everything. And if we make a trade for a solid starting pitcher, like, there's no reason to think that this team doesn't win 90 games again and makes it to the playoffs again. Yeah. And it competes to win the AL East. Like,
so I think the three areas the Yankees had to improve upon during the offseason, what for me was, you know, shortstop, starting pitching, and center field. We improved on shortstop. We did improve third base, but I really wanted to see pitching get improved. I think we have a good rotation. I just want a little bit extra, right? Just that insurance policy. I think having Sevy for a full year is going to be great. I think Montgomery, I think, is really good. I think a lot of people sleep on him. He has, he limits contact. You know, whenever you see his hard hit, like, people don't square him up and just, like, take him deep. You know, he limits soft contact. Cole is going to be Cole. Cortez, let's see if he keeps it up, but he was really good. And Teon, I think he faltered near the end of the season, but it's because he was coming off injury. He hasn't had that innings limit.
Well, and he was hurt.
And he was hurt, yeah. So I think you saw he had a good 10 game stretch where he was filthy. I do think he's closer to that than, you know, right. So
yeah.
I think we have a good rotation. I wanted one more pitcher.
I think if we're able to trade for Manaea or Montas, which I'd really much rather mm-hmm. Montas, like
mm-hmm.
having Nestor in the bullpen is a much better situation. I'm very happy with our rotation, mm-hmm. but mm-hmm. I also want to like,
and we have King and Heal, you know, ready in the wings. So I think we're definitely gonna have to rely on them at the early part of the season. And we have Herman, but he's on the IL, but you're going to have to rely on those guys early just because spring training, we have, what, 2-3 weeks to get guys ready. People mm-hmm. are not going to be stretched out. You have to be worried about injury history for pitchers. So I think you want to have that. I really want to have a six-man rotation and just kind of limit their innings early just so at the end of the season, you know, you don't get those, you know, shoulder fatigues. You get guys, you know, hurt into the postseason. You know, you want their pitching staff to be fresh for the postseason. So yeah. we'll see.
And then I want to, like, talk about how a ton of Yankees fans are saying that we're, like, a fourth-place team, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. Like, the Red Sox didn't get better. Like, they signed Story, yeah, but they also mm-hmm. lost Kyle Schwarber and replaced Hunter Renfro with Jackie Bradley Jr. Like,
mm-hmm.
they lost significant parts of their offense, and their pitching mm-hmm. is just not good.
Like, yeah, I think it could get better because they have Sale and they have Tanner.
But Sale's hurt.
Oh, that's right.
They have Houck.
That's right.
Pivetta, yeah. Eovaldi.
Yeah.
Who I don't know who else they have.
Yeah.
And then their bullpen is like okay.
It's a mess.
They have like three good guys. So
yeah.
I don't really understand why people think the Red Sox are better than us. Like mm-hmm. they weren't better than us last year. Sure, they beat us in the wild card, but that's a mm-hmm. one game series that was in Boston. Yeah. Like you can't base the entire season of what team's better based on that one game. Like we looked much better mm-hmm. in the second half of the season than Boston did.
Yeah.
And sure, like we could finish fourth. That's baseball, but the Rays didn't get better.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if they got worse, but they didn't really get better, but they're the Rays, so mm-hmm. you can't count them out. And the Blue mm-hmm. Jays, like, they didn't get that much better. I think
the Blue Jays They added to their team, but they also lost. They lost a lot as well. Yeah. They lost Simeon, they lost Ray. We're able to replace that by getting Donaldson, getting Gausman. I know they got Kikuchi. I said Chapman, did I not?
No, you said
Donaldson. I said Donaldson. I meant Chapman. they were both former A's.
Yeah. You know? And, like, they get a full season of Berrios, and they get a full season of George Springer, hopefully. Mm-hmm. But, so, like, I think the Blue Jays on paper, if they performed like they did last year, are probably the best team in the AL East. But, like...
Mm-hmm.
No, they're all good teams, and I think the Yankees are the second best team. The Rays can always perform their dark magic and perform mm-hmm. way above what anyone expects them to, or I guess expects them to at this point. But mm-hmm. we're definitely not worse than the Red Sox. Sure, we could finish below them, but we're not a worse team.
On paper, no. I don't believe we're worse than the Red Sox. And I could still see them finishing first with the team that they constructed. But I could also see them finishing fourth. It's just that competitive in the AL East. Yeah. It's a four-team race.
And it's also people are saying, oh, we're going to finish fourth place. Like, there's a very good a chance that fourth place in the AL East is still a playoff spot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like,
yeah, with expanded playoffs.
Yeah, definitely this team, there's no world where this is a bad team. That's just a ridiculous statement.
Mm-hmm. And with the new format, it's the first two seeds get a bye.
Yeah.
And then it's a five-game series, right? The first round?
No, I think it's three games. I think the wild card.
Three games?
I think the first round is three games.
Okay.
I'm not
But positive. It's not one. Okay.
Yeah, I don't think it's one
we
game.
Could, okay. Yeah, we could fact check that. But it's not one game. That's what really scares you. Just having a one game. Because anything can happen. In a series, I still like the Yankees' chances. You know, it depends how you match up, if people are healthy, you know, how you're doing. It's a, you know, it depends. But, you know, I'll take the Yankees' chances, you know?
Yeah.
And then I just wanted to go on. So a lot of people were giving Cashman a lot of flack, and like, I get it. Like, initial reaction to Correa signing with the Twins is like, you like really like, we couldn't have topped that offer. We couldn't have matched that offer. We wanted a stopgap shortstop, and you know, he took a 3-year contract, and then we took money from the Twins, and then the Twins ended up signing Correa, my top shortstop pick. So like, I get angry, but then I kind of did this little formula. We were talking about a little bit earlier where like, I wish, you know, Hal opened up the purse strings a little bit, you know, but how much the Yankees are spending, you know, you need to be better in your roster configuration. So I just wanted to just, if we didn't make that Donaldson trade and we just signed Correa to the deal that they had, let's compare that to the team that we have currently. And then also take into effect the salary, because salary does matter. I don't know, if you want to scroll down to my little like calculation for luxury tax. I don't think we've talked about that in our CBA. We probably did, but just to give a little reminder. So that first hit, the luxury cap is at 230. Mm-hmm. If you're above that, you're taxed at 20%. If you're, it's the first time you're over, 30% the second time, and then 50% above that. And then there's also another floor where it's if you're anywhere 20 to 40 million above the cap, you're taxed at 12%. So I think this is where this seems to be the limit that Hal has for Cashman. He's saying this is your limit, 250 to 270. You can't go above this. And it seems like it's that's the limit for him, because once you get 40 million above the cap, it's now you're taxed at 42%, and then 60 million above cap, you're taxed at 60%. So that's just, you can, the Yankees are going to, if you're going to be paying Judge, Correa, Cole, he's going to be paying that tax. It's going to be unsustainable. You can't do it. So that's why the Yankees are leaning towards that, you know, youth movement. They want to call up good guys, guys that you could build a core around, and then add in those other free agents. And I think that's probably the best, you know, sustainable term, because you can't be spent in the, and just those taxes, like that adds up real quick. You know, you're saying, okay, let's have a team go 270, you know, 270 million. That quickly adds up to like 400 million just with the taxes. So that, and that's unsustainable.
Yeah, and like, people act like the Mets are going to spend $300 million every year now. Steve Cohen, like, he is going to get run out of town very quickly if he tries to do that, because the Mets are just going to lose so much money. Like,
yeah,
it's not sustainable. Like, sure, every once in a while spend that much, but the way free agency was set up this year would have been a lot of long-term contracts that we would have just been stuck with this ridiculously high payroll for a long time. Yeah, like, they're the most valuable franchise. They should be up there in salary tax, but it, like, you got, you, I would rather them have a team that's sustainable for multiple years than just go all in on this 1 year. And if they don't win this year, then it's just going to be like 5 years of horrible.
Yeah, like, non-competitive, 'cause that's how teams. That's how you become the Orioles. That's how you become the Tigers, where sure, you have, and they've never won a World Series either, but you get stuck with these contracts. And like I said, it's easier for the Yankees to swallow, but you can't swallow all of the bad contracts, you know. And they're gonna have a lot of, you know, big contracts. They have Stan, they're gonna have Cole, they're gonna have Judge soon, you expect. They would have Correa, they would have, like, so you just can't be like a drunken sailor and just like spend whatever you want wherever you want, right? So, but going back to the original point, let's say we never made that trade with the Twins. This is how our lineup would have been. We would have kept Sanchez. We would have kept LeMahieu, Torres, Urshela, Correa, Gallo, Hicks, Judge, Stanton. How does that compare to our roster now? It's actually less WAR, if you just calculate it by the WAR. And then it's still more expensive, you know, $136 million to $126 million. I get it. You know, as a fan, you don't care what Powell spends because it's not your money. And I get it. I wished he would spend a little bit more, mm-hmm. but it is his team. And like I said, you spend a lot of money, it could quickly add up in those tax hits.
Yeah. And then I'm going to make one change really quick, because if they do mm-hmm. extend Judge, let's just say he signs for $27.5 million, then you're at 146 million with a total of mm-hmm. this update. Was it 268 before? But regardless, like, it's, you're not going to have enough money to keep everything going. And then it, like, I understand why people are frustrated with this offseason, but in reality, the team got better. And if Volpe or Peraza pan out to being perennial all-star players, which is asking a lot of mm-hmm. them, but Volpe is the eighth-ranked prospect in baseball. He's not like he's not Clint yeah. Frazier, where I don't remember actually how high Clint got at some point, but
he was never top 10. He was never yeah. top 10.
You're not relying on the 75th-ranked prospect to become your next all-star. You're relying on a guy that's mm-hmm. shown every tool that he needs to show for you to have faith in him. Mm-hmm. Like, people aren't attacking every other team for, like, not filling the spaces for, like, I think Olsen and Freeman, like, we should have got one of them, but I'm not that mad that we didn't get a shortstop, one of the top shortstop, because I guess now we can segue into, like, spring training and what we've seen from spring training. And Volpe has looked really good. Like, his approach at the plate is a lot better than a lot of the other minor leaguers that we're seeing in spring training. And then his defense, he's looked so smooth at shortstop, and his arm, there was a concern about his arm, but from what I've seen, it's a cannon. Like,
yeah,
the work he's done in the offseason practicing at, like, the pitching academy or wherever he was definitely mm-hmm. seems to have helped, because mm-hmm. some of the throws he made today were just absolute lasers.
Yeah. Yeah. And I still yeah. think if he continues to develop the way he does, we could potentially see him this year. Yeah. The sky's the limit for him. It's just, you know, now Yankee fans are going to be clamoring for him
yeah.
a lot more, just because, you know, they're at a, you know, I don't know what you would call it, inflection point, where it's like, you know, you're going to go back. If he's a bust, you're going to go back to this offseason and be like, well, why didn't you sign this guy? But also, yeah. if Correa, Story also just don't live up to their contracts, although it's kind of hard to not live up to a 3-year contract, yeah. you know, it's not the worst thing in the world. But, mm-hmm. you know, like, if they don't live up to it, you're going to be like, well, Yankees are stuck with these guys.
Yeah.
And they can't make any moves because they're stuck with these guys.
Yeah. Like, imagine, like, our team performs well this year. Like, God forbid we go to World Series. That'd be awesome. But, like, next year when Volpe comes up, he turns into a perennial all-star. Like, mm-hmm. you're going to be so glad you didn't spend $300 million on Correa. Like, mm-hmm. even if he's never as good as Correa is,
mm-hmm.
you're still going to be happy. Like, if he's just an all-star, like, that's a good deal, because we're not going to be paying him a ton. And I kind of hope, if he comes out and does really well, I hope we pull a Wander and just, like, boom, yeah. lock him up right there. Like, don't wait for him to get 25 years old and, like, cost
yeah, and go 20, to free
like,
agency.
30 million. Yeah. Just lock him up, like, the Braves. Because that's why the Braves are going to be so good for multiple years.
Because they locked up Acuna. They took their they chances. They locked up with, Albies. They yeah. locked up even Olsen. They
dragged. Austin they Riley.
Gave up. Yeah. Austin, like, yeah, they. Yeah.
They didn't wait for those players to become superstars and then lock them up. Like, we're going to pay for that with Judge. But so learn your lesson. If Volpe looks good when he gets the majors, just mm-hmm. lock him up. Don't wait for him to cost $30 million a year. Just lock him up for $15, $20 million a year, and mm-hmm. like, you have your shortstop for the next decade. And that's, I mean, honestly, that's a lot. That's asking for a lot, but mm-hmm. this kid looks, and he's 20 years old and looks like he could be the next like great shortstop. Like, I'm not going to expect him to be a future Hall of Famer, but I don't think there's any reason for it to be crazy to think he could be a perennial all-star.
Is it crazy for me to suggest the Yankees sign him already without seeing him in the majors, just sign him to a deal?
I think if he starts, if he starts hitting well, I think you call him up, and with that call up, you just boom, just sign him. Mm-hmm. Or I mean, he's like, can you sign him to a monster contract and then not put him in the majors?
Yeah. Usually they call them up just because, but you could absolutely do that.
I don't think you can.
Yeah.
Are you sure? Can you sign him to a major, like a 10-year major league contract, and just keep him in the minors?
Oh, I've like never that?
Seen that.
Okay. Because, like, usually how it happens is that, like, do you remember, what's his name? The Astros guy. It was like a...
Which one?
Can't remember. It was a first baseman. I can't remember his name. Jonathan Singleton.
Oh.
Yeah. I thought they... Although that he's not going to get that low of a contract, but he signed a contract. I thought he was in the minors at first, and then they called him up, which is why I was saying that. But I still think...
Every single one of them that I... Like, Tatis, Acuna, Albies, Franco... everyone that we've seen in the past like 5 years, they did it and called them up at the same time.
Yeah.
Like, I think if Volpe doesn't make it to the majors this year, then do it next offseason, because he's probably going to start the year at the MLB level if he plays well in the minors this year.
Mm-hmm. So I just want to point out something in the CBA. Ryan, if you want to just open that up. I don't think we talked about this in hours.
Oh, did you send me something on Zoom?
Yeah. Yep.
Okay.
So.
All right, I got it pulled up.
Yeah, I thought I saw this here. It's something where if a player wins the Rookie of the Year, they receive a full
year of service time.
Year of service. Yep. Yeah. So you're not going to see guys where, like, at least the idea behind this is that you can't just call a guy up in June. He rakes, kind of like Wander Franco, where you can manipulate the guy's time. Mm-hmm. You still get that extra year of service, and he still goes off. And Chris Bryant is also another example. They called him up late, and he won Rookie of the Year. But it's like, so it's kind of to incentivize them to call them up earlier. Because if you think he's a stud, you want to have that full year, because you're going to lose the full year anyways if he breaks.
I think a perfect example of that for the current prospects is Julio Rodriguez and Adley Rutschman. I don't know. I think Rutschman should be called up this year, but those two guys, if you expect them to be as good as you expect them to be, there's no reason to wait until, like, sure, maybe give them the month of April, maybe, to just make sure they're good to go in the minors, but like, you don't hold them out until May or June just to get that extra year of service time, because if they're as good as you expect them to be, they're going to win Rookie of the Year, and it's not going to matter.
Yeah.
Like, so Volpe, if, like, this year, obviously he's not going to be in the majors by the time you get to that situation, but if he looks good, like, he should start, he should be on the opening day roster next year. Like, he should be the opening day shortstop if he has a good year in the minors. And if he has a really good year, he should be up this year and should be the starting shortstop for however long, assuming he continues that level of play at the majors. And it's been a long time. I guess we had Glaber, and Glaber lived up to expectations the first 2 years, and then we put him at shortstop and things went downhill, but, like, Glaber's not done. Like, it wouldn't be surprising if Glaber, or shocking if Glaber kept doing what he did the last 2 years, but it also wouldn't be shocking if Glaber went back to being a perennial all-star second baseman like he was his first 2 years. He probably won't hit as many home runs because it's not the juice ball anymore, but if he hits 15, 20 home runs a year, or 20 home runs a year, 2025, and hits 280, like, that's a good short, like, that's a good second baseman, and you're happy with that. So I'm just so excited for Volpe. He looks good. I hope he starts off on fire in the minors and gets called up, because, like, Volpe wasn't just good last year. Like, he had the highest OPS in all of minor league baseball.
Yeah.
And that's with guys like Julio Rodriguez, Adley Rutschman. Like, all of these top prospects were also in the minors.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a reason he went from, I don't even know what he started last year as, to now is the eighth-ranked prospect in MLB.
He might have been...
He was like
at the bottom of at the 100, yeah. Or maybe just missed it. But he was like, yeah. He was not highly. He rised the most. The yeah. Dominguez was ahead of him in the rankings, and yeah. then like the Yankees want Dominguez to be our Acuna. They want Volpe to be our Wander.
Yeah.
So we just have to see what happens. But they desperately want, and they believe in them. To do that. And we have a whole bunch of shortstops as well. It's not just him.
Yeah, there's Roderick Arias. There's Oswaldo Peraza. There's Trey Sweeney. Not all of these guys are going to stick at shortstop, but like...
Cabrera, we have a grand slam today.
Yeah, I think he's a like infielder and outfielder. I think he can play mm-hmm. a ton of spots, but it's not like our entire farm system is dead if Volpe doesn't work out. But...
Mm-hmm.
I do think Volpe is going to work out, and we're going to be mm-hmm. thanking the Lord that we didn't sign Correa to a monster contract and then have to deal with moving one of them off short. But
mm-hmm.
I'm excited to see what happens. I hope Peraza comes out hot and Peraza can make the major league roster and like early mm-hmm. on in the year so that we have him, another young guy, just to hold off chomping at the bits until Volpe's ready. But
mm-hmm.
I'm not worried. I think this current team is good, and I think we have a really bright future and prospects. Like, this is a huge year for Jason. Like, mm-hmm. this is his first full season of professional baseball, and he's not starting the year at rookie ball. So mm-hmm. he could turn into a bust this year if he... Like, last year he mm-hmm. didn't play all that great, but you can't take too much stock into it. But if, again, mm-hmm. this year he just doesn't play well again, then...
Yeah.
It's not looking good, but people still have faith in him, so we'll see.
Yeah.
And kind of some other stuff in general that I've seen in spring training. Gleyber has looked good at the plate and on defense.
Mm-hmm.
And then IKF has looked really good at the plate. Pretty much every at-bat has been a hard hit ball.
Yeah. He makes contact. You really like that. I like to see speed. There was a double steal that we saw today, which yeah. I was a big fan of. You know, I've always said that I'm a big fan of speed, you know, just because it opens up a new, you know, aspect to the lineup. And, you know, mm-hmm. just seeing that, you know, if you could get teams like on their feet, just be like, oh, you can't just like just throw the ball in the infield, you know, because then you could get errors. You could, you know, kind of, you know, I just love speed. And yeah, big fan of that.
Yeah. What else have we seen? I mean, Oswaldo Cabrera hit a grand slam, so that was cool. Mm-hmm. We definitely could see him on the major league roster, potentially even opening day if he has a good spring.
Mm-hmm. Sevy's start. He was hitting 97. I think he topped out at 99. Mm-hmm. He had good stuff. Not the best results, but you know, it is spring training. They were saying how they expect Sevy to be more further along than the rest of the starters, which kind of surprised me, which is why we're going to need to rely on our bullpen just that first month, just to keep guys healthy, make sure they're not getting hurt. But you might see him have more pitches opening day than, you know, Cole or Monty or someone like that.
I think Sevy, like, he just made a few of his pitches were just weren't a great location, and the Tigers made him pay for it. I am not worried about it because his stuff looked good. That's what I was worried about. His velocity was good, and his breaking stuff looked good. Like, it's going to take him time to get the location down again. That's what spring training is for, and like get him ramped up and everything and feeling confident. But I liked what I saw from him today. And then Licky, Wandy, did anyone else pitch that's like a major league guy? I don't know, but they looked good. And some of our prospects, like our minor league pitchers, have shown some absolutely nasty breaking pitches. Was Neski. We couldn't see Waldichuk. Mercutio, something like that. Like, we've seen some crazy breaking pitches. Donaldson hit a home run in the game that we couldn't see. But yeah, I think we have a lot to look forward to. Donaldson could have a monster year for us. He could become a fan favorite. IKF, I think, already is a fan favorite. People just love that he's like a lifelong Yankees fan and everything. So
yeah.
That'll be fun. If he has a good year, people are going to love him and are probably going to be like slightly upset when Volpe takes his spot. But
yeah,
if Volpe plays well, then it's game over. Because Volpe's from New Jersey, so I'm pretty sure he was a Yankees fan as well.
Yeah.
There's a lot to look forward to. I'm excited for this year. I can't wait for opening day. Be there in person. Mm-hmm. It's going to be awesome. And to see what prospects do.
Yeah, can't wait. You know, I don't believe in the doom and gloom. You know, we're going to be a good team. It's just a matter of health. It always is. Mm-hmm. I think people are going to shock you with the way they play. I do think Donaldson, just looking at his Baseball Savant page, like that's like he's going to be a great fit with the Yankees.
Yeah.
You know, IKF, I think, is going to be a great fit just defensively. And like I said, just having a better defense is just going to help our pitching. Yeah. It's just that I really wish we just would have shored up that pitching just a little bit.
We still have time to. Like, there are still options on the trade market. And I don't think that if Volpe continues to do well in spring training and the pitchers are still out there for trades, I wouldn't be shocked if we traded Peraza because they think Volpe's going to be ready this year. And, like, you don't, if Volpe's going to be ready this year, you don't need Peraza because Volpe is that position. Like, sure, it'd be nice. Like, depth is nice and having that is nice. But I'd rather, if Volpe's going to be ready this year, or they think he might be, I'd rather trade Peraza for a pitcher, which is a much bigger need than having two young shortstops. But yeah, like, there's a lot to look forward to. I'm excited for the season. I don't think there's a need to be super worried at this point. If we don't get healthy, then that's a bad thing. The whole vaccine issue could potentially be a very big issue, but I don't know why they would sign Rizzo to that contract if they either A, weren't extremely confident that the mandate is going to be lifted or that the people that aren't vaccinated are just going to get vaccinated. And with Judge, they're not going to sign Judge to an extension if he's just going to miss half this year, because then I don't see any possibility that Judge sits half the year because he's not vaccinated. Like, because if he does that, he loses free agency. Like, he's not going to become a free agent next year. That's going to tank his value. So he's going to lose out on like 50 plus million probably at the very least. Yeah. And the Yankees aren't going to extend him. So, and he's such a, like, he's a team player. Like, that would just screw the team if he missed half the season. So, I'm not super worried about that. And I think Voit might have been the other player that wasn't vaccinated. So, we might only have one player now, and that might be Judge. Mm-hmm. But it's also tough to, like, I don't want to speculate and be like, Judge definitely isn't vaccinated. Like, this person definitely isn't. Yeah. We don't know. We'll find out opening day.
Yeah. We'll cross that bridge when we get there. But, you know, We'll see. And I don't want to just speculate. Also, I don't want to speculate on what New York's going to do. You know, but, you know, if the Yankees sign Rizzo, you have to think there is something behind the scenes that they know that we don't know. I think ultimately, as fans, there's probably a lot of things that we don't know. I know a lot of people were disappointed in the off season. I know when we recorded, I think I gave him Cashman a D as a recording, or I said incomplete, something like that, just because I was like, I'm waiting on something else. I still am waiting on something else. But just going through that little exercise that I did, it kind of shows you, puts things in perspective, right? We got better from last year, and that's all that matters. And even getting Correa, that wasn't going to make our team better this year, and it's going to kind of put us in a hole just long term, even though he only signed that 3-year contract, but we totally expected him to sign that 10-year contract.
I think I would give Cashman like a C+, B-, like, I'm not saying this was a great offseason. Like, it could have been a lot better, but I don't think we needed to have an A-plus offseason for this team to be really good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, yeah. I think that's a good place to round it off. Obviously, if we do make a big trade for starting pitcher, which hopefully we do, we'll be back for that. I think at some point this week we'll record our second part to our top 10 players list, and then and then we'll just keep on uploading stuff as the rest of spring training goes on. And then once I'm so excited for the year to start, once the year starts, expect at least weekly episodes, maybe even after every series. We'll see. Like we said, we'll probably do a few live streams when we're just watching games, just reacting to what's going on. But yeah, and that's pretty much it for the episode. If you enjoyed it, please leave a rating and review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to your podcasts. Remember to you reach out to us on Twitter and Instagram at The Bronx Story, and leave a like on the YouTube video if you're watching there. That's a reminder for everyone that we now are going to be uploading all these on YouTube. So yeah, I think that's a good place to end it. So Jitender, let's go Yanks.
Let's play ball. Spring training is back.
All right. See you guys.
Bye.